choir, and soloists and quartets for inspiring us tonight. I was doing a bit of reminiscing while I was up here and looking at some of the faces I knew and wondering who I knew the longest and how did I ever get here. And I remember a young man over 20 years ago by the name of Julian came over to Nassau when I was preaching in Shirley Heights, and the rest of it is history. Of course, before I knew Julian, I knew Roddy and Valeria. They were, of course, living in Nassau at that time and enjoyed the warmth of their fellowship and the encouragement that they gave us in those days. And now we're all together. Here we are, enjoying the Lord. Let's pray. Father, may the Holy Spirit exalt Jesus Christ, your Son, and touch hearts in conviction and in conversion tonight. And may some leave singing with Mark, "I'm not the man I used to be," all because of Calvary. Father, speak to me in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read a few verses from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in that second chapter, I want to take a theme tonight that's upon my heart, and it's really exciting my soul, the wonderful biblical theme, and I trust it may be an encouragement and a blessing to you. And writing there, Paul, in the second chapter, and in verse 1 of that chapter, he says, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in those, the sons of disobedience, among whom too we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and sealed us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of his own precious and holy word. The thought is in my mind tonight is that thought of grace. And I began to look at this word grace, and I began to think of some of the quotes that some men have made about it. A great preacher of a past day by the name of Jowett, he had these words to say: "Grace is holy love in spontaneous movement going out in eager quest towards the unholy and the unlovely." As God moving out in our direction, he said, this is what Griffith Thomas, a great preacher, said these words: "God's mercy pitying, it is God's wisdom planning, it is God's power preparing, and it's God's love coming to us, something we did not deserve." Grace has been described as the unmerited favor of God bestowed upon mankind. God's grace is mercy, love, kindness, compassion in spontaneous motion towards the undeserving sinner. It is God pushing all these things that we long for in our direction. And our text has five thoughts, and I just want to leave them with you in the time that we've got tonight, and I pray that they may be a blessing to you. The grace of God, you see, seeks the sinner. The grace of God saves the sinner. The grace of God sustains the sinner. The grace of God satisfies the saved, and the grace of God is sufficient for all. Some years ago, I read about a court case that was held in Boston. It was about a case of a man who had drowned in the Boston Harbor, and the bystanders had done nothing about it. And those who were related to him came, and they said they went to court to charge those who had watched him drown for just sitting there and doing nothing. And you know, my dear friends, this is what the world is. We say, have the story of the man who went down to Jericho. And he goes down there, he gets beaten up, and some come across and look, and some just pass by on the other side. But the wonderful story of the Samaritan is this, that there was someone who stopped. There was someone who cared. There was someone who really believed in that man, that he could be helped. But far more than that, there was someone who had the ability to reach out and touch that man, and did it in loving grace. And so when we come, friends, to our state before God, we discover in our state before God that we are lost. L-O-S-T. Think about it. Lost. That's what the Bible says. We're lost in sin. Not only are we lost in sin, but, my dear friend, we say because of our own rebellious spirit, we are separated from the Holy God. I had a sad incident where my brother died. And I went home to see, to take his affairs, and I was the only one last in the family. I used to try and reach out to him, but somehow or other, he just didn't want to know me that well, unfortunately. And when I went home, one of the things I did when we went to his house to clean it up, I went next door where there was a 75-year-old lady living, and I wanted her to know who was working next door, that she might not be afraid. And I never forget her words as she said to us just back in the October there. She said, he said he had a brother. He wasn't terribly nice to her either. He said he had a brother in America, but they didn't speak. But she said, you're awful friendly. And I thought to myself, and I looked at her and I said, well, have you guessed who didn't speak to who? And she said, yes. And you know, my dear friends, it takes two to make a relationship. But there is, in the God's case, where we were separated in sin from him, he reached down to us in great love and care. For we find the grace of God is seeking. It's wonderful, you know, my friends, when you begin to see it and you begin to look at it in the Word of God, you discover this. That there God seeks the sinner. The wonderful story of the prodigal son. The story of the woman, the man who had 99 sheep, but he lost one. The story of the woman who had 10 coins, but she lost one. The story of a man who had 2 sons, but he had lost one. In the case of the sheep, the shepherd went out until he could find it. And you know, the hymn writer, D.L. Moody's hymn writer, Sankey, he said, none of the ransomed ever knew how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found that sheep that was lost. You know, my dear friends, I tell you, in loving kindness, Jesus came our souls in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, praise God, he lifted us. He lifted us. Teenagers, he lifted us. Children, he lifts you up. He takes us into a deep relationship. He's seeking. Then we have the picture of this coin. It's dead. It's going nowhere. You can shout as much as you like, but the coin's not going to respond. You might get the sheep to bleat, but you'll never get the coin to respond because it's a picture of deadness, isn't it? We can say, and men have said to me many times in preaching and working in the gospel and on street corners have said to me, there is no God. Well, my dear friend, when you're dead, you're not conscious of the God, are you? When you're dead, you are not conscious of anything else. We used to live next to a cemetery. It was the only neighbors who never ever complained about my singing. I was conscious that they lived next door to me, but they were not conscious that they live next door to me. There's deadness. You have to be brought into the same life. And so you have to be searching. And so she searched and she searched and she searched until she found it. And you know, God finds the treasure he's looking for in strange places. He can find them in bars. He can find them under the addiction of drugs. He can find them under the influence of alcohol. He can find them in brothels. He can find them in strange places, because there is not a place that God cannot go. Where shall I flee from thy presence, the psalmist said. And somebody said, well, I grew up in a Christian home, and I don't come to the gospel hall very much. I don't come to the chapel very much, but I'm here tonight. But I don't come really often, because I want to get away from it. My friend, you will never get away from God. And if you don't encounter him in time, we're going to encounter him in eternity. And my friend, if you don't meet him as your Savior, seeking to bind up your wounds on the road to Jericho, you're going to meet him as your judge at the end of the day in that great court where he doesn't need witnesses, where you don't stand and say, well, I'm sorry, that sin was all a mistake. No, my friends, he's got all the facts before him. And we see him reaching down in a very, very real and wonderful way to save people. I'm looking for a text here I had in 2 Corinthians. I just want to read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my favorite verses, and it says at the end, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God, or right with God. Now, what is the cross all about? The cross is about God making his Son the sin bearer of and the carrier of our burdens and of our sin, that we might become right with God and clothed in his righteousness. Yes, we're not the same when we've been to the cross, are we? We're different. We'll never be the same again. I haven't been the same for 50 years. My dear friend, I want to tell you, whether you're a teenager or younger or older, my dear friend, you're not the same when you come to the cross, because you are confronted with a God who is seeking. There's a wonderful old hymn. I was weaned on the redemption songs, and there's a wonderful old hymn there that said, seeking the lost. Yes, kindly entreating. Wanderers on the mountain astray. God is out there looking. And the teenager says, you know what? God will never find me. Don't kid yourself. He found me. My friend, he found me walking down the main street. I'll tell you what. He knows all the funny places that sinners go to. He knows them all. I remember one man one night who came to our tent in Liverpool. He said, I want to trust Christ. He says that I was in a bar last night. And I came out of the bar and I wanted to drive home. And he said, I saw the tent. And what was wonderful thing about the tent, you never who were listening, because there were only canvas walls. And he said, I drew my car up and put the window down and I listened to your whole message outside the tent. I didn't know he was listening. I went home and I thought, I've got to go back tomorrow. But tomorrow I go into the tent. And he came and trusted Christ. A young man that I knew well, a very fine Christian young man, was in a bar drinking beer. You say there's nothing wrong with beer. No, if you stop there. But nobody stops there. Very few people stop there. But he said, and this is quite amusing, and you Christian mothers just take consolation from this. He said, I lifted the glass up to my mouth, and as I looked up, he said, I saw my mother's face at the bottom of the glass. So I put it down, went home, and got saved.
My dear friends, I want to tell you, he is seeking. He'll find you where he is. And let me say something else. God's not waiting for you to take the initiative. God took the initiative first. That's why there's a message to preach. That's why there's good news to preach. That's why there's a cross. Because God took the initiative, and if it were sufficient enough that he would die on the cross for your sins and for my sins, that we might be eternally saved and changed by an almighty dynamic power of God through the Holy Spirit of God, if that wasn't enough, according to Revelation 3:20, he came and knocked at your door. I want to ask you tonight, how long has he stood there? How long has he stood there? How long has he knocked? How long has he wanted to come into the house and change the dungeon into a palace where the King of Kings lives? And he's there tonight. You see, this is the day of grace. Grace reaches out. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. And we don't deserve a holy God standing at our door and wanting to come in. But we're getting it. And Holman Hunt, in his wonderful picture, paints the door overgrown. And as he paints it vividly, overgrown and all the weeds everywhere, all over the place, he paints it so vividly, like a door that hasn't been opened. And one thing is missing in the paint, and that is the door handle is on the inside. And I want to tell you this, my friend. Jesus Christ does not force his way into anyone's life. But when by the Spirit of God we are convicted of our sin and brought to an understanding of how he loved us on the cross, there is an immediate response in our hearts to say, I want to trust. I want to trust. And then we're born again of the Spirit. And then somebody says, then you become miserable. Do I look miserable? Some of you look more miserable than I do. Oh, beg your pardon. How to lose a congregation in a few moments. I've heard people say, I wish I'd never been born. But I've never heard anyone say, I wish I'd never been born again. I've seen young men on drugs, having been to the hospital to look into the faces of people dying with cancer, struggling, fighting to save for their lives, for every minute they can get on the earth, and I've seen healthy young men and women who have destroyed their minds and then finally committed suicide and destroyed their bodies. My heart has been broken. I was thinking of an old hymn tonight when we were praying. I remember an old fisherwoman. In the days when they followed the herring from Lowestoft in England right up to Lerwick in the north. And they used to have, in those days, in the fishing, when the herring season was on, the women went with the men, and they were on the shore, and when the herring came on, and they filleted it. And up the East Coast, they just say they gutted it. But they filleted it. I better use the polite words. And the women were on the shore, and she was one of them. She said, there's a young woman that traveled from Lowestoft in England up to Lerwick in the Shetlands, flaying herring in the summer. She came to the services. I got to know her. In her 70s, she got a leg off. She still came to the services. I know people with two legs who can't get to the services, you know. But I tell you what, she came with one and a half. She can. She died. She was in a Scottish tenement, up the stairs there in a Scottish tenement, at the second middle floor. I buried her. Did the service. Her daughter came to me and she said, her daughter worked in the fish as well, but she was a new breed of fish woman, and some of these ladies would make a marine blush with their language. And I remember in the top of that, as we call it in Scotland, in the stairhead, they are standing. She looked at me with tears in her eyes and she said, "Oh, John, if you could only help me. I'm bound by the drink and all these other things." And I looked at her and I said, "You tell me where your mother is today. We put her body in a cemetery, but where is she today?" She says, "She's in heaven." I said, "You know why she's there? Because her Savior breaks the power of cancel sin and sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me." My dear friend, I want to say, turn to your mother, Savior. You know, my dear friends, as we look at this, we discover that no matter how old you are tonight, from a little boy or a girl, right through the teens and 20s and 30s and 40s and right up, and let me say, some of you old agers need to get saved. You, I love you. Why do you think I preach like this? Why do you think there's a tear in my eye? Because some of you are on the road to hell tonight, and I'm not going to allow the devil to do that. I'm going to tell you, you need to get saved tonight. And I want to tell you, there's a stranger at the door. Let him in. He has been there off before. Let him in. And he said, "I will come in and sup with you, and you with me." He'll give you a new life. And what a life it is, isn't it? What a life it is. And my dear friend, let me just say this, that he takes the initiative. He's reaching out to you. Where is your hand tonight? Is it reaching out to touch his? Is it reaching out? And then, my friend, dear friend, let me say, the grace of God saves the sinner, for salvation is by the grace of God. By grace are we saved. Because he's reaching out, we can respond and be saved from sin by the grace of God. The more longer we live without Christ in Christ, the more we pile on that sin, and until we bow down with a burden and we come to pension days and we're confronted that over the hill there's eternity. And we begin to think, what am I going to do? There's only one thing you can do. Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting. And in the nautical terms that you understand in Spanish wells, and steer for the harbor light. For how do you know that your soul may be gripped over the deadline tonight? And so we discover, my friends, he took the initiative and the grace of God saves us from that sin. Salvation is not by the works of the law. It's not what we can do. We can't keep the law. You might be a decent, wonderful, great person, but we discover that it's not by the works of the law. For we find the Word of God very clearly makes that very, very clear to us.
And in Galatians 2:16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. You might be the most wonderful person on this island. You might be the most compassionate. You might be the most gracious. You might be the more loving person. But you'll never get to heaven on what you do. You'll only get to heaven on what Christ has done. And this is what the writer says. Nevertheless, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but through the faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I don't want to be irreverent. But when I get to heaven, I want to lift my hand and look at the Lamb of God and say, He did it! For nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There's no merit in us, my friend, for our righteousness are as filthy rags. Then very quickly, let me say that salvation is not by the work of the law, but salvation comes through the channel of faith. Here it is. We go to the children. I do this for some of the children here tonight. You put your hand up and say, forsaking all, I trust Him. When you wash your hands tonight or tomorrow, just remember, forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. That's how you get saved. You turn to Christ and trust Him. And it's by simple faith. And we are justified in the sight of God by faith. We are made right by God because we believe when we come to Him that He has called us and we are responding to His call when He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But let me say this to you, my dear friend, that grace of God sustains a sinner. Can I tell you this quickly? Because you might just say, but wait a minute, John, what about tomorrow? Oh, I know the tomorrows. I worried about them too, you know. But I got saved. I wondered about it. There were more people convinced I wouldn't last than there were that I would. But I thank God it wasn't a case of me keeping Him, it was a case of Him keeping me. Amen? That's it. Isn't that lovely, saints? Isn't that lovely, kept in the love of Jesus? And so we discover, my dear friend, that God saves a man. When God saves a man, He does more than rescue him from drowning. He teaches him to swim. Amen? So when you fall back in, you can get out quick. God rescues him from drowning and teaches him to swim when He saves him. The Apostle Paul gave all the praise and credit to God for his salvation. He paid tribute to the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, 1 Corinthians 15:10. That's wonderful. Not boasting of our achievements. Think of the folks that I've known in this place over the last 20 years. Some sung in the choir. Some played the organ. Some just sat down there and came and prayed. God bless them. That was a mighty ministry. And they're with God, with Christ tonight, you know. You know what? He didn't let them down. When He shouts, come home, you come home. Amen. You're absent from the body and you're present with the Lord. And so, my dear saints, we are the sinners saved by the grace of God. I love that old hymn, not have I gotten, but what I've received, grace has bestowed it since I believe, boasting excluded.
We're living in a boasting world. This is what I can do. This is what I've done. Look at me. I hope somehow as a preacher you can look at me and see the grace of God. Because like Paul, I can feel I can say, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I want to tell you parents who may have a son or a daughter out there tonight and they've worried you and you pray for them, well, don't stop. Because I'll tell you in 30 seconds, Jesus can bring them home. I know that. And let me say this, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul is saying, look, he admitted he had the sword in the flesh. He said, look, I'm going to tell you God has saved me. And you know what? Because I'm weak, the grace of God is keeping me. Every day. And then he makes it very clear that God continues to deal graciously with us. Paul was convinced that God, the God of grace, had begun a good work of conversion, and the experience would persist, and his purpose is completely to redeem and deliver his children from sin. God doesn't make junk. Amen. Doesn't make junk. He might repair junk, but he doesn't make junk. And let me say this as I close and I bring it together. Give me a moment or two, because if I don't give you this, we'll miss the whole thrust of the whole thing. And some of you might just be sitting on the verge of eternity. You know that? Let me say this. The grace of God satisfies the saved. I won't take too long on that, because you folk who are saved, know you're satisfied, but let me run through it. By God's grace, we can rejoice in the glad consciousness of forgiven sin. Amen. Because the grace of God, we can rejoice in the blessed assurance of divine sonship. I'm glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm one of God's sons. I'm in the kingdom. Because of God's grace, we have access to an inexhaustible source of spiritual power for the service that God wants us to render. He says, and when you go out for me, I'll give you the power to do it. And then by the grace of God, we have strength that is necessary to achieve victory over evil. I was passing the liquor store not so long ago in Pennsylvania. There's a nutty situation where the people who arrest you for drunk driving are the same people who sell the liquor. Only the government, only the state itself can sell you liquor in Pennsylvania. Isn't that crazy? And I was passing the state liquor store, and the devil said, Clunas, go in and get a bottle. Remember, it used to taste good? And you're Scottish, why don't you take some Scotch? You lived among where it grew up. And you know, I felt the pull of the devil. Then I think I heard an old story. A Savior came to glory. And I began to just in my heart sing, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I don't need 75% proof when I can get 100% proof. Amen? My friend, I've never heard a drunk say hallelujah, but I've heard a sober man filled with 100% spirit say hallelujah. Amen? And it didn't come out of a bottle, it came out of the Bible. And you know what? When you finish the bottle, you didn't need money to get more, because he says, with joy you shall draw waters out of the wells of the salvation. And remember, he said to the woman at the well, I will put a well of water in you that will spring up unto everlasting life. Very quickly. By God's grace, we need have no fear of death.
our salvation does not depend on our good works. It is based solidly on and within the grace of a loving God. Amen. And when we hear the call, we are absent from the body and we're present with the Lord. There it is, all in His hands. And let me just, as I bring this final point to you, it's an important one to those of you who are a Christian tonight. The grace of God is sufficient for all. The supply of God's grace is inexhaustible. We need no have no fear that the bank of heaven will ever go broke. Hallelujah. Never need to be bailed out. There's an immense supply of grace in the world. If your heart is thirsty, come to Him who is the fountain of living water. If you're hungry, then come to Him who is the bread of life. If you are weary, tired, and depressed, come to Him who alone can give you the rest that every heart hungers. If you are staggering under the burden of responsibility of life, and then cast your cares on Him who cares for you. If you're a guilty sinner, unsaved sinner, or let me use another word. If you're a guilty, lost sinner, for all sinners are lost, laboring under the burden of guilt, then come to Him who alone can forgive you. If you're helpless under the grip of some power or evil that holds your life, then come to Him who alone can set you free. When the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And if you're old and helpless and afraid of death, then come to Him who said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you I go to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again for you. And if I come again, I'll take you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said, how can we get there? And Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In the closing moments of this service today, are you ready to give your life to Christ? Are you ready to trust Jesus Christ as your soul? Are you ready to commit that life? You say, I'm just a young person, I don't want to die. My friend, I want to tell you something. You're dead already. You'll begin to live when you trust Christ. I did. In my teens. You begin to live. And I challenge you tonight to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. What a blessing. And God's initiative places Him at your door tonight. He's knocking. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And you open that door and say, Jesus, don't stand there any longer. Come in! You walk out of this place, irrespective of your age, with a peace in your heart, with a salvation in your soul, and you'll know there's an almighty God in heaven. And you'll be able to sing every day, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. And you'll go home and somebody will say to you, what's the matter with you? You say, I'm not the man I used to be. All because of Calvary. Will you trust Him tonight? Well, let's pray. And just in the quietness of the service, these are vital moments. Will you just contemplate that if you died in that pew right now,
where would you be? In heaven or in hell? They're both in the Bible. But I can guarantee tonight that you can be in heaven if you just simply realize tonight that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me now. I turn from my sin. I want you to be my Savior tonight. Father, I believe in the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb. I believe in the amazing grace of God. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you to bring conviction upon every heart. Lord, my job is done. I've told them. It's the job of the Spirit now to convict them and to bless them and to save them through the death of Christ on the cross. Bless us now, for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tony, where are you? Oh, yeah. I'm on up 790. If you're bound by something, there's a little tract I did at the back. It's got a man's name on it, Frank Jennings. It's a story of what he did, but right on the back page is the story of a man who was a trucker who listened to he found my radio program in Rhode Island by accident. We were the last station on the dial, and I used to say, this is the end of the dial and the beginning of life. And he found it, and on his way to jump off the Braga Bridge in Massachusetts, he got saved. And then went home and led his wife to Christ. And some months, good few months later, when I made appeal, if God had blessed you, write me a letter, tell me. And he wrote me a letter, and I printed it out from the back, read it. And he was on drugs. And God wonderfully, wonderfully saved him. And we're going to sing this wonderful hymn, My Soul in Exile Was Out in Life's Sea. And we'll just sing a verse or two of it. We won't sing it all. But I want you tonight to consider where you will spend eternity. And we're going to sing the first and second and the last. Verse 1, 2, and 5 of this lovely hymn. Let's all stand as we sing this lovely hymn.